Welcome to the Balanced Bites podcast with Diane Sanfilippo and Liz Wolf. Diane is a certified nutrition consultant and the New York Times bestselling author of Practical Paleo, the 21-Day Sugar Detox, and co-author of Mediterranean Paleo Cooking. Liz is a nutritional therapy practitioner and the bestselling author of Eat the Yolks and the Purely Primal Skincare Guide. Together, Diane and Liz answer your questions, interview leading health and wellness experts, and share their take on modern paleo living with their friendly and balanced approach. Remember our disclaimer, the materials and content within this podcast are intended as general information only and are not to be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 183 of the Balanced Bites podcast. Diane here, and while Liz is on maternity leave, we still will hear from her with a fertility tip later in this episode, but let's check in with our sponsors. Pete's Paleo is a friend of the Balanced Bites podcast. Their bacon is insanely delicious and sugar-free, and their pre-made paleo meals make your life so much easier when everything's getting busy and getting real food on the table is still a top priority, as it should be. Pete's Paleo is now offering a 30-day gut healing kit containing bone broth, gelatin gummies, instant organic soup packs, and an e-cookbook. It's a perfect complement to any anti-inflammatory diet. Get yours today at guthealingkit.com. Use code GRABACUPOFBROTH to get $25 off. That's an amazing deal. It's GRABACUPOFBROTH, C-U-P-P-A. And you can grab that code anytime at balancedbites.com to just read it and make sure you're typing it in right. You can also use code BALANCEDBITES to get $5 off of any of their regular meal plans. Check out PetesPaleo.com today. Pete's Paleo, bringing fine dining to your cave. All right, so this week, just a couple of things to update you guys on. Number one, if you will be in Austin at Paleo FX at the end of April, make sure to find me. I'm pretty sure I will have a book signing scheduled at some point with Victory Belt, my publisher, and also I'll be giving a talk on business stuff. So that should be fun. And I'm also going to be on a panel at the very end of Paleo FX, kind of closing it out. I think it's similar to what we did last year. There was a talk on women's health, and it should be a really good time. I saw the lineup of other speakers, Emily Deans, a couple of others, and it looked like a really good panel. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited to meet all of you who are there. And if you are interested in going, you're not sure, you've been kind of thinking about it, you don't know if it's right for you, it's a fantastic event. I definitely recommend it. It's a really fun one. It's pretty casual, but it's also very interesting and thought-provoking. The talks are always great, but it's really great to just kind of connect with the community. And there's always lots of really yummy food samples. So I think it's a great time, and I definitely recommend going. And we'll link you to a place to grab tickets. Actually, I think in the sidebar on balancedbites.com, you can grab tickets. So that's it for that. And then the one other quick thing I wanted to let you guys know is that if you're one of my email subscribers, make sure that you are checking your inbox. If you don't see an email from me pretty much every Sunday, you may be subscribed and your emails may be going either to a promotions folder or to spam. A quick way to find my emails is to just search in your inbox for an email from the address info@balancedbites.com. And you may find that it just was being filtered somewhere that you didn't see it, or it was being sent to spam, what have you. But that's a way to find it. And all you need to do is add info@balancedbites.com to your address book or safe sender list or whatever your email service recommends for that kind of thing. The other thing is that I have brand new lists that are just coming out right now for shopping lists. So what you can do is just make sure that you do sign up. I think we have new shopping lists for Costco Canada, Kroger, HEB, and then a store called Jewel. And I think that's, I don't know if it's just in Texas or where else it's located, but my team members all around the country are helping us to get a whole bunch of these shopping lists ready for you guys. I know everybody loves them. So check it out over at balancedbites.com. Okay, last update for you. We're switching the podcast host. I know a bunch of you wrote in to me on Facebook and on Twitter and commented about the very strange ad that appeared at the beginning of the episode. It was not a joke. It was not something that we put in there. It's something that the host that we've been using for the past 3+ years, I don't know, I don't know if they decided to enact some right that they have to place ads on our show, even though we pay for hosting, and I don't know what the deal is with it, but I don't feel that it's right that they put ads into our show. And I know that you guys were kind of confused by it, maybe got a good laugh out of it, but I was not too pleased with it. So definitely keep your eyes peeled. I'm not sure what's going to happen, if I'm going to need you to resubscribe to the show or not, but I will let you know via all kinds of social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, et cetera, and my emailing list. Like I said, it's really the best place to make sure you're getting all the information, because social media sometimes kind of hides things. But I think we should be okay. If you're subscribed here, you should be able to get it. But just kind of keep your eyes peeled for that. And you may notice new album artwork, like the main graphic that you see when you're viewing or listening to the podcast, that may change as well. And that might be a sign that you have the new show where it's hosted newly and you're good to go. So I just want to let you guys know about that. All right, so my guest today, I'll introduce him before we get into a quick shout out and this week in the paleosphere slash, well, it'll be more than the paleosphere. My guest today is my beloved, my fiance. It's by popular demand because you guys have asked that we bring him on the show and have a little interview and also ask a bunch of your questions, which I'm psyched. We posted a graphic this morning asking for questions, and we were hit with so many that we didn't even need to leave it out there for more than a few hours to have a full list of questions to go through. So Dr. Scott A. Mills is a chiropractor with a master's degree in exercise science and a bachelor's degree in athletic training. After 6 years helping athletes as a collegiate athletic trainer, he pursued his doctorate from New York Chiropractic College, graduating first in his class. After 4 years of private practice in the Pittsburgh area, he opened Plexus Performance Care in New Jersey. That's in Fairfield and in Hoboken, if you're looking for him, in 2014, with a focus on helping athletes of all levels. His blog and popular online video series, The 2-Minute Fix, can be found at drscottamills.com.
What's up, everybody? It's Dr. Scott. With not the 2-minute fix, but we'll do some stuff today and it'll be fun.
We'll do some things. All right, well, let's first quickly, we're sharing earbuds for anybody who's curious, sitting very close together.
Very close.
One earbud each. We're quickly going to do a shout out this week. Who's our shout out for?
This is for Diana Rogers, the release of the Homegrown Paleo Cookbook.
So for those of you who have been asking about sustainability and ways to kind of take paleo to the next level, not in the sense of tweaking and refining exactly what you're eating every minute of the day, but in ways that you can kind of contribute and, I don't know, not necessarily give back in a community way, because I think you can do this just for yourself and for your family and maybe a small community. But if you're looking to really embrace more of the spirit of what paleo is about beyond just personal health, and look at the health of the planet, and look at, you know, all these questions that come up around, you know, sustainability, and is meat bigger of an issue than soy? No, like, we know that raising cattle is actually really good for the land, and we know that planting all different kinds of crops in your own kind of garden, or whether you have a farm, all that stuff is really important to sustainability. And what Diana's done in the book is make it more approachable. And she's taken it, I think, down to a level where if you want to have a small homestead, great. She's explaining how to do that. But she also has information just even on, you know, small potted plants. So, you know, we live in a condo. We don't have green space. We have a small.
But that's what I like about this. It looks like no matter, you know, what level you're at, no matter what your resources available in your community, there's something for you that you can get out and get some great ideas to help kind of bridge that gap between, you know, trying to do better for yourself and your family and feeding yourselves well.
Yeah. So I think the one other thing, too, that people ask us about a lot is, you know, how to know what's the best quality, or how to know what questions to ask your local farmer. So if you're not going to do this for yourself and you want to support those who are doing it, this is a great book to be able to read more information about that, so that you can learn it from their perspective, so that the questions you're asking are relevant and on point. So I guess that's it. Homegrown Paleo Cookbook. It's available in bookstores everywhere, and you can grab it on Amazon, and we'll link to it from our show notes.
All All right, this week in the paleosphere is actually going to be this week in the chirosphere. Since this is our sort of chirocentric episode, I thought I'd give a shout out to one of the guys out there doing some great things in our community. He is actually in North Jersey here. He practices up in Bergen County. Dr. Tim Szymanski, you can find him at the at waddoc.com. He's AKA the Waddoc. So that's W-O-D-D-O-C. And what he has been doing for, I think he's over 250 episodes now. He's been doing a video every day. So he's Project 365. I literally don't know how he's doing it. The guy is just a beast in the gym. He's also an amazing doctor. And he's putting out just great resources to help anybody who wants to help themselves move better. They're great little videos, specifically targeted for CrossFitters, those who are in kind of the weightlifting community, but also just for anybody who really wants to try to take over some self-care and do some things and learn some things and how to help themselves. So just wanted to give him a shout out because I try to put out my 2-minute fix videos once a week and that doesn't always happen. And he's like doing them once a day for a whole year.
I can't even get a video out once every 6 months. So I don't know. We're lucky that we get this podcast done every single week.
Yeah, so that's, again, Dr. Tim Szymanski, giving him a little shout-out at thewaddoc.com.
Support for this podcast is provided by Dragonfly Traditions, natural, nourishing skincare with absolutely no unnecessary chemicals. It's natural nutrition for the skin. I am a huge fan of Dragonfly, from their serum to their night cream and everything else the owner Phoebe has created. Your skin will be soft and happy with Dragonfly Traditions. If you head over to dragonflytraditions.com and make a purchase of one or more of their skincare products, you can then add Balanced Bites to your shopping cart for one penny. Phoebe will then not only send you 2 free lip balms with your order, she'll also send you that penny back. Remember, that's 2 free lip balms with purchase from Dragonfly Traditions.
All right, so we have a bunch of listener questions, reader questions, et cetera. But I think before we get into the questions, I just want to give people a little bit of background, or rather I want you to give people a little bit of background, Scott, on, you know, what is chiropractic and just some of the basics, because I think most people are familiar with the term chiropractic, but I don't know if everybody understands kind of the point of it. And I think there are a lot of myths out there. There's a lot of confusion and misunderstanding. So I think it would be great to just have like a really quick high level, you know, what is it? And then I've got a couple of, you know, questions that I think after, you know, being close to you for so long, I've learned more about that I think other people would find valuable. So I'll ask my question and then we'll get into listener questions.
Yeah. So if I was just to kind of paint some broad strokes as far as what is chiropractic, I'm going to start always with the spine and nervous system. So many people know us as kind of the folks that work on back problems. And we like to take that a little bit deeper, obviously, and look at the body from a holistic perspective. And really, chiropractic is the science, art, and philosophy of holistic healthcare. And but where we start is as specialists of the spine and nervous system. So obviously, that's what we go to school to learn a lot about, how to take care of the spine. And I sort of use this dentist analogy a lot. You know, in our society, we have an ingrained belief system about taking care of our teeth, right? You're supposed to go to the dentist, get regular checkups, brush, floss, etc. But that same belief system doesn't really apply to our spinal health or spinal hygiene, even if you will. So when we're looking at chiropractic, we're talking about primarily taking care of the spinal joints because of their important impact on how our nervous system functions. And so really when we're looking at chiropractic as a holistic health endeavor, we're talking about a function-based proactive healthcare system. So what I mean by that is looking at how can we best improve the function of our bodies, starting with the spine and nerve system, and then branching out from there into other things like nutrition and eliminating things like toxicity, and also improving our thought patterns. So this is in direct response to really what the general mainstream health care system is out there, which is actually, really, if you look at it, symptom-based reactive sick care. You want to jump in there?
I want to jump in there because chiropractic seems like something that is much newer than, you know, a more specific, like, medicinal, you know, we can think about plants and herbs being used for medicinal purposes many years ago, but it's almost something that I'm just thinking about as you're talking now. It's almost in response to, like you said, the medical system and also our modern ailments just of society and stress and the way that we live life now. So when people think about, like, well, my great grandmother didn't need a chiropractor, it's like, well, life was pretty different back then. And I don't know, I'm just wondering if that's kind of one of the things that has spurred chiropractic as being something that is obviously much more valuable and even prevalent and existing.
Yeah, I think so. And to your point about it arising, chiropractic was actually founded in 1895 by D.D. Palmer in Iowa. And so we actually have been around coming up on our 120th year anniversary this September. So it actually has been around for a while. But to your point, this did arise out of a time where people were looking for alternatives to what was kind of a brutal medical system at the time. And it's continued on to be sort of, you know, the most popular alternative healthcare provider system that we have here in this country.
You mentioned that, you know, the spine is obviously what, you know, the integral part of what you take care of when you're working with patients, and, you know, made the analogy between, like, the way we take care of our teeth versus our spine. And I mean, I think that we do that because of vanity. People, you know, we see our teeth, and so we realize that they're there to actually do something about. And, you know, I do think that people, when there's pain, and they more often, you know, find that it's easy if they have tooth pain, they go to the dentist, and people do that with back pain and come to the chiropractor, but people don't realize that there's so much more that chiropractic can help with. One of the things that I really didn't think about at all until more recently, and I think it's because I grew up in a family where chiropractic care was common. My parents went, and it wasn't just because they had back pain. Like, they went for wellness care, and it was just normal for me to be in a room watching a chiropractic adjustment and kind of going through that. But now that I'm older, and when you talked about what it does in the body to have a chiropractic adjustment done in terms of sort of resetting the signals that your nervous system is sending and just how the flow of the signals that your nerves are sending, how that flow can either, you know, be uninterrupted or interrupted or be more balanced to, you know, between your sympathetic, parasympathetic nervous system and the whole fight or flight versus rest and digest. Like, I don't think I realized that a chiropractic adjustment actually helps you get into that rest and digest, that's parasympathetic,
yep,
state, better, you know, and then actually paying attention to that and getting an adjustment and realizing that I kind of feel more relaxed after. That's been kind of eye-opening. So can you just talk about how that works? Because I don't think people realize that. And so many people who write in with questions are like, I'm so stressed out and I'm eating perfect food, but, you know, I feel like my digestion's still not working and I'm still allergic to 500 things. And, you know, there's so much going on with their nervous system.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to talk about that. I'll try to talk about it in a way that makes sense for everybody, hopefully. What you're alluding to there, and I was going to actually bring this up, is the autonomic nervous system, right? And you guys talk about this in nutrition a lot, as far as what can we do to kind of balance that system out between the fight or flight, which is our sympathetic nervous system, versus the rest and digest, which is the parasympathetics. And a chiropractic adjustment actually can help bring that system into balance. And I see it in my patients all the time. And I kind of use the analogy, hopefully he won't mind, but one of our coaches who's, you know, very hard-driving character, when I adjust him, you just see him right on the table mellow out, and he's, like, ready for a nap. So that can happen. It doesn't always happen. And then the opposite can also happen, where people are sort of stuck in this sort of low neural tone and you adjust them, and they actually, it brings their level up and helps balance them out from an autonomic standpoint. There's also, if you just kind of think of it big picture, the connection between the brain and body, and then the body and brain, there's neural impulses heading both directions, right? So you have motor impulses from the brain to the body, and you have sensory impulses from the body to the brain. And we want that traffic to be equal and symmetrical throughout the whole body. And that's what, you know, I started talking about with function. That for us is a real measure of health. How are you functioning, right? And that's why we're trying to get away from just really focusing on symptoms to really assessing and correcting function.
So what does the adjustment actually do? Because people think of an adjustment as just cracking and popping, and they don't have a concept. I mean, I know I didn't really, and until you adjusted me and I got used to the way you adjust, where I can actually tell that you're looking to feel the way my joints are actually moving, I don't think I ever picked up on that little bit of a test before, just the manual test that mm-hmm. you'll do with your fingers, you know, on my spine. So
yeah,
mostly in my neck. I can always right. tell, but
yeah, one of the things I'm going to say and kind of plug my blog here real quick at drscottamills.com. I wrote a piece called Mythbusters, the Chiropractic
There's
Edition.
There's no excuse for your tongue twisting.
I know. If you go onto that and just search Mythbusters, I wrote a long article about this sort of phenomenon, about there's a lot of misconceptions about chiropractic out there. And one of the big ones is that my spine is out, or my back is out, and my chiropractor puts it back in. And that's sort of a very inaccurate way of actually describing what happens. And what you're alluding to, and how modern chiropractic is really practiced, is we are looking for relative motion of vertebral segments. So how the spine is moving individually, individual segments, one on top of the other. So if you think of a spine as 24 movable joints, they should all be moving through their full ranges of motion. If there's one or two or multiple segments that are stuck and not moving well, that negatively affects that communication system that I talked about between brain and body and body and brain. What the chiropractic adjustment does is restore motion, and then the body basically takes care of the rest and says, okay, now there's no interference in that nervous system. Now we can function properly. Now in chiropractic, the word we use to describe that interference is subluxation. So if you've ever been to a chiropractor and they've used that word subluxation, that's what they're talking about. So the answer to the question, what does a chiropractic adjustment do? It corrects subluxation. In this case, I'm using it as a term to talk about restoring relative motion to the spinal vertebrae in order to clear the body of any interference between the body and brain and brain and body.
All right, let's get into some reader / listener questions. I think one of the ones we've gotten a lot, and I know you've gotten this a lot on the blog too, is how can somebody find a good chiropractor? What does that even mean? What is a good chiropractor?
Well, that is a good question. What does that mean? I wrote this out. If you guys want to read, is in addition to kind of listening to me talk about this, I did write a post called How to Find a Good Chiropractor at drscottamills.com. But one of the things, I guess, when I hear this, you know, there's lots of different kind of ways to take this. And one of the things I wanted to cover, because a few folks asked, you know, what do we need to know about credentialing or licensing and this and that? And the reality is we all kind of go through the same process. We all have to go to an accredited college. We all have to take the same board exams, learn the same information in order to legally practice in the state, whatever state we choose. We have to get licensed by that state board. As far as just seeing somebody be board certified or licensed in their state, that doesn't mean anything. It's just like any other profession. To really find the best chiropractor for you, and that's kind of the argument I make in the blog post, you're going to have to do a little bit of work. And I think it's like anything. You have to keep searching and finding until that, you know, you get the right vibe from the right person and they have the right tools to meet whatever problem that you're dealing with is. And that can take, you know, it can take going to a couple offices, honestly, and saying, you know, thanks, but I'm going to keep looking, which has definitely happened to me. And, you know, that's the biggest thing, I think. What does it take to be a good doctor? I think it takes the ability to know when you're not the right doctor for that case. And I certainly have gotten to the point in my career where I don't let ego dictate who I help and who I don't. And I think if you're getting a sense from somebody that, you know, they've treated you a few times and it's not really helping, or you just get the wrong vibe from them, you know, it's time to find somebody else. And if they're not okay with that, they, you know, that's on them, not on you. It's your job to take care and continue to be your own health advocate to keep finding somebody who has the right tools for your specific condition. That being said, there are a few things that I do recommend. And just part of this is, you know, over the course of doing this for, you know, 5+ years from a chiropractic standpoint and 15 years from a health standpoint, that I do recommend. And one of those is I'm a big fan of chiropractic neurology. And so this can be one of the things you could look for if they have additional diplomats or certifications in chiropractic neurology or have been through the Carrick Institute. Those are definitely good things to look for. The ACNB and the IACN are two of the national bodies that certify chiropractors in chiropractic neurology. It's a really good program. Some of the other things, you can certainly go to Paleo Physicians Network or Primal Docs to find somebody who at least will be on the same page as you from a nutritional standpoint. We haven't even talked about chiropractors and nutrition yet, but maybe we'll get to that a little bit throughout the course of the interview. I'm also a huge fan of active release technique. It's something I've been certified in since 2005. This is the gold standard, in my opinion, of soft tissue care. Very specific treatments, very quick results for a whole host of things, anywhere from carpal tunnel syndrome to IT band problems to hamstring issues to low backs to headaches, tension headaches. Somebody asked about that. ART, active release technique. You can find a provider at activerelease.com. They have a provider search there. But yeah, like I said, I wrote a whole post on this. You can certainly go and find that on my website, and you can see all the links to all the things I just mentioned.
I think also, you know, word of mouth referral is probably the best in terms of, you know, personality and making sure that you've, you know, it's somebody who you just think you're going to jive with. You can read reviews on Yelp or wherever, or, you know, check out any testimonials of specific patients if they have them on their website, where you see, you know, the types of patients that they're working with a lot. But I do think that word of mouth is great, and, you know, asking your friends. And it's one of the things I've seen a lot of people using Facebook for. I mean, it's just great for that sort of social proof of, you know, I trust my friends to tell me what's great and if they've got a chiropractor. And I know that's been huge for, you know, a lot of the athletes who are coming to Scott's practice now, is that they're hugely just based on word of mouth, and they're getting treated and they're feeling better so quickly that it's just really helping everyone want to tell everyone else about it.
Yeah, word of mouth referral is definitely my favorite kind of referral, because that is the highest compliment I can get, right? That I took care of someone to the point where they would recommend someone that they care about to come in and get checked.
Yeah, I think so. I think asking people, you know, if they have a chiropractor that they love and recommend, and what kind of, you know, stuff do they go to them for, I think that would be a really great way to find one. All right, so let's see. We've got another question here from Amy on Facebook, was asking, can earaches and sinus issues with kids or adults really be alleviated by chiropractic adjustments?
Yeah, it's one I really flagged that maybe we could cover, because it's actually a great question, and it's very interesting. It actually has a very specific cause and effect. When it comes to otitis media, so an inflammatory buildup or response inside the ear, a lot of times this is a drainage issue. And in kids, when I would check them, we often find a problem in the upper neck, the upper cervical region. When that is addressed with a very gentle adjustment, what happens is it allows that drainage to occur through the eustachian tube. So there's actually a little muscle that attaches from the eustachian tube that can become irritated or non-functioning, not allowing that drainage to happen in the ear. And so the adjustment, the chiropractic adjustment, can actually help relieve this problem by allowing for drainage. And it's interesting about ear infections in general is we know that the majority of them are actually viral, and yet the most commonly prescribed reason for antibiotics is ear infections, which antibiotics don't address viral infections. They address bacterial infections. So if you're looking for an alternative to just a blanket treatment of antibiotics for what can the majority of the time is a viral issue, a chiropractic adjustment certainly can help. Now, one of the things I always want to say when we're talking about specific conditions like this is I want to mention scope of practice, because the reality is our scope of practice is all about the spine and nervous system. So I wouldn't go out saying, yes, chiropractic cures XYZ. What I would say is when the body is functioning properly from a spinal standpoint and a nervous system standpoint, then a lot of things work better. So do I cure earaches or sinus infections? No, I take care of the spine and nervous system, and the body helps take care of itself. That's one of the principles, you know, we didn't get a chance to talk about yet, but essentially chiropractic has a viewpoint that the body has the innate ability to be self-healing and self-regulating when everything is functioning well and is free of interference. So what we do is clear that interference and allow the body to take care of itself.
All right. So Heather on Facebook was asking, when is it better to go to a chiropractor versus a massage therapist? I know you get that question a lot, if massage can help or chiropractic, and when's the right time for each, and are they great, you know, together or one or the other? What can you tell Heather about that?
Yeah, another very common question I get a lot, and I'm going to try to not speak for massage therapists since I'm not one. I'll speak for the chiropractic end of things. But so a lot of times, the big difference, I would say, again, I'm going to always kind of bring it back to the nervous system side of things. And when we're talking about that, we're talking about any kind of imbalance in neural tone, especially neuromotor tone in this case. So if somebody has a muscular issue, say very common one I see in like desk workers, for example, is kind of that trapezius, chronic pain, you know, coming down from the side of the neck, right? So is that tension, what is the cause? This is the question to ask, right? So is the cause the muscle is just spasming for no reason, or is there something underlying that we can do about that? Is there a nervous system reason for that chronic spasm, or is it simply just a blood flow issue? And so what I would say is they complement each other very well, because I think massage is great for a couple different reasons. Increase in blood flow to the local tissue. Also, you get a chance to lay down and relax, which many people do not do throughout their day or week. Which can also have a very positive and palliative effect on muscle problems, versus chiropractic, which we're going to try to trace that issue, that muscular issue, back to the source. Is there a nervous system irritation at the spinal level that needs to be adjusted and addressed that can ultimately fix the cause, the root cause of that chronic muscular issue?
Okay. I like the laying down and relaxing part of massages. All right. We have a lot of questions about desk workers. And this one is from Cindy. And she asks, I spend a great deal of time working on a laptop at home and a computer at work. And now I'm struggling with neck/shoulder pain that radiates down one arm. Can this be relieved through adjustments? More importantly, what can I do to prevent further strain and muscle stress?
So this is probably, I would say, the bulk of the problems that I see in practice can really be traced back to what I would call an incongruent environment. So our lives these days, as we know, in this paleosphere, right, are not congruent with health. Sitting is not, for a prolonged period of time, is not congruent with health. It's not good for our spines. It's not good for our bodies. It's not good for our muscles. It's not good in general. Working at a computer, same thing. We're sort of in that forward rounded shoulder position. Our heads are forward. We're sitting on our butts, not moving or not firing our glutes. It's a whole wave of things. It's actually, we have a symptom or syndrome name for it. There's upper cross syndrome and lower cross syndrome. And what these things describe is this whole cascade of events that happens when we just sit too much. And if you think even about growing up in the society, right, we learn sitting for years and years and years, and then we go to careers and sit for more years and years and years. And we, you know, it's no surprise that I had the same constellation of complaint in my office, you know, neck pain, upper back pain, tight hip flexors, deactivated glutes, short pecs, the whole gamut of this problem, right? So the answer to her question, can chiropractic help? Absolutely. This is our bread and butter. It's what we are trained to do and can help with corrective exercise, with adjustments, with therapeutic exercise, with active release, getting the scar tissue removed from those areas so the stretching that you're doing at home actually works, which we should probably talk a little bit more in detail as far as what the difference between breaking up scar tissue is and just relieving muscular tension. But basically, she's talking about, you know, this shoulder pain that radiates down one arm. That's typically going to be a nerve issue. And it's the kind of thing that I do help quite a bit with, a combination of chiropractic adjustments and active release technique to free up these adhesions and scar tissues that can form around the nerves. So if you think of your nerve off of your spinal cord as kind of a long spaghetti string that goes all the way down your arm.
Paleo spaghetti?
Yeah, paleo spaghetti, of course.
A zoodle.
A zoodle. Okay, it's a zoodle from your spinal cord down to your arm. It's actually very common to have adhesions or scar tissue build up around these nerves that cause that radiating pain. Sometimes it's in the neck where that adhesion occurs. Sometimes it's in the shoulder. Sometimes it's in the forearm. Sometimes it's in the wrist. And so a skilled practitioner, somebody who knows the anatomy and has the tools to fix it, certainly could address a problem like that. As far as what you can do to prevent further problems, I definitely have a couple of 2-minute fix videos for seated desk workers. Check those out. But basically, you know, you have to take micro breaks. I kind of have the 15-minute rule. You need to, you know, get up, shake it out, shift your position. Make sure you're just, you know, breaking up that chronic posture. I have a Bruegger's relief position video you can watch that basically is trying to bring...
What relief?
It's called Bruegger's relief position, which is basically just bringing your chest high and your shoulder blades back and together and then looking up toward the ceiling.
I'm doing it now.
Yeah, she's doing it right now. The one recommendation I have is you can actually get like an app or a little egg timer at your desk and set it for 15 minutes and make sure you're taking, you know, even just 30 seconds every 15 minutes to try to offset some of these things. But yeah, it's definitely a modern scourge. Sitting and working at a desk and a computer is not, it's not healthy for us. So we need to do a lot of things to actively engage and undo that stress.
Would a standing desk, like to alternate standing, sitting, maybe?
Absolutely. A big fan of that. Obviously, if you have that as an option, they actually make little desktop adjustable standing desk units you can get where you can throw your laptop or whatever up on top and stand, you know, maybe alternate every 15 minutes and go from there.
All right. Lisa from Instagram asked, my daughter had a kyphosis. How you say it?
Yes.
Which causes a slumped posture. She feels like there's nothing she can do, mostly because her pediatrician and specialists were very negative. Do you have any solutions to help this?
Yes. Well, first, let me define that word. So kyphosis is a word or term or diagnosis for an excess curve of the mid-back or thoracic spine. So what she's sort of talking about, if you can kind of visualize sort of, I don't want to be cruel, but like the hunchback, that sort of position where you're flexed forward in the mid-back. There's a couple of, you know, I'm going to get into differential diagnosis here, but there's actually a couple of underlying conditions you'd want to get screened for. Schurman's disease is one, but that can cause this. You know, if she's been to a specialist, hopefully they've kind of screened her out of that. But yes, postures like this, I would never tell somebody, you know, without knowing, you know, the full scope of their condition, that it's absolutely correctable, but it certainly can be helped. And we would, again, do this by the proper chiropractic adjustments, get that spine moving better into extension. So kind of the
opposite of that flex posture. Strengthening the posterior chain, so the erector spinae, also the scapular retractors like our rhomboids and traps. Kind of do some therapeutic exercise there to try to help bring our posture up. Elongate the opposite muscles, which would be our pecs and deep neck flexors. So we're trying to get that chest, you know, again, back and up. Sort of similar actually to our constellation of desk worker syndrome. But yeah, there's absolutely no reason why this couldn't be improved. I'm not going to use the word corrected without knowing her case. But yeah, there's definitely hope. And that's one of the things I like giving people the most is hope.
We'd like to thank Vital Choice for supporting our podcast today, and we encourage you to visit their online store at vitalchoice.com. You'll find an amazing array of some of the world's best seafood, including wild Alaskan salmon, halibut, tuna, and cod, as well as sustainably harvested shellfish. These foods are not only delicious, but vital choices for your health. You'll also find grass-fed organic Wagyu beef, live fermented foods to promote gut health, wild organic blueberries, and dark organic chocolates. Eat better, think better, and feel better with deeply nourishing foods from Vital Choice. They're offering our listeners 15% off any order using code BALANCEDBITES. Remember that orders of $99 or more ship free.
So there are a lot of questions about, you know, can chiropractic help XYZ, certain specific conditions? And then there were also, you know, and some that were like that, where they were specific to the spine. But there were a lot that were kind of, you know, can it help my digestion? Can it help colic? Can it help autoimmunity, depression, et cetera? So do you have kind of an overarching, I feel like you kind of answered that in some ways and what I was talking about with the nervous system too, with a lot of the questions that we get, but what's the general take on that?
Yeah, absolutely. And we kind of have covered a little bit of sort of revisit it, but again, I would never use the word cure and chiropractic in any of these specific conditions. What we want to talk about and focus on is improving the overall health of this person, whether it be digestion or depression or otherwise, by improving the impulses from the brain to the body and the body to the brain, balancing out the nervous system, both from an autonomic perspective and a motor and sensory perspective. And one of the big things I just kind of wanted to touch on was sort of using this question to tie back into kind of how I even heard about paleo and kind of how that relates to, you know, this general question of can this or chiropractic or eating better, it's the same answer, right? You wouldn't say that going paleo cures stuff. You would say it, you know, helps remove a lot of the toxicity and problems that, you know, the modern diet has caused. So what was happening in my life in 2007 and 8 was I was in my first year of chiropractic college, and I just started hearing this guy named Dr. James Chestnut. You can find him at thewellnesspractice.com, talking about getting back to our roots and eating like hunter-gatherers. He wasn't using the word paleo, I don't think, at the time, but it was making a lot of sense. But his overall chiropractic wellness certification hinges on this idea of eat well, move well, and think well to live well, right? So that kind of covers the whole gamut of holistic health. And what I really loved, how he broke it down and how it made sense to me, was talking about toxicity and deficiency of nutrients, movement, and thought being that interference that we were talking about. So I was talking about nerve interference. Well, in, you know, the nutrition world, we're talking about interference from an issue of what? Nutrient toxicity or deficiency. Are we taking stuff in that is causing toxicity in our body or deficiency in our body? Are we not getting something in? And the flip side of toxicity and deficiency of, again, nutrition, movement, and thought is purity and sufficiency. So purity and sufficient. Are we pure in our nutrition, in our movement, and in the way we're thinking? Are we sufficient in the nutrients we're getting, both from a food standpoint, a movement standpoint, and a thought standpoint? So that's why I really, you know, that's how I got into actually paleo, and it was through chiropractic. And I just think that was so cool that, you know, those worlds converge. So to kind of get back to that question, that symptom-specific question or disease-specific question, my answer is chiropractic can help. Why? Because we're going to get in there and depending on the practitioner specialty, you know, address some of these interferences, some of these toxicity, some of these deficiencies, some of these movement issues, and help balance the body's normal function. And that's what, you know, it all comes back to is function.
I mean, it's the same answer that we have for, you know, can paleo or eating real food help XYZ? It's like, well, of course, getting the junk out of your diet can help anything because, yeah, you know, if your body is not sufficient in nutrients or your body is dealing with too much toxicity from your food, I mean, it's obvious that just getting your body healthier from that standpoint is going to help a lot of things. So we definitely had a bunch of questions. There was one, I know we had a lot of questions about SI joint problems. So sacroiliac. I know what I know and I don't know what I don't know. It's all good. We had a lot of questions about SI joint problems. I know that I've had them. This is kind of one that I don't know, just wanted to see if you had more thoughts on that or, you know, recommendations for people. I know we're going to get into another more movement specific question next, but that's kind of the one I wanted to touch on because we saw that a bunch.
Yeah, definitely a very common one. Sacroiliac joint. So this is where our sacrum and our pelvis meet, and we have two joints, kind of the lower part of the low back below the lumbar spine. And, it's definitely a common source of pain. It's not, there's no one way to fix these is basically what I'm going to start by saying. I've definitely helped a lot of folks through them with the kind of care that I provide. And I've also seen ones that do not respond to the kind of care I provide. So that was kind of the general vibe that we were getting in our questions was like, I know I saw a few that were like, yeah, I've been through PT and chiropractic and this SI joint pain is sort of there and unrelenting. And if traditional conservative manual therapy is not helping these problems, then it's often a couple of things. One, we see these a lot, obviously, I see them more in women. And I think, you know, overall in general, the sacroiliac problems definitely occur more in the ladies, especially those who have had children. And a lot of times I know that we can trace some of this stuff back to pelvic floor stability, also posterior chain stability. So sometimes, you know, it just takes a little extra digging and a lot of extra work and the right exercises. And basically, there's no way for me to describe these ones on a podcast. So I'm going to use this as a chance to kind of bump some of the resources that I'll be putting out this year, a longer video series, which will address some of these things. I just can't, you know, do a 2-minute fix on sacroiliac joint resolution because it just would be a 20-minute fix. And so this is the kind of resources that definitely will be available shortly. And there's other great ones out there. But a lot of times, you know, to kind of answer this question, it just takes a little extra digging and a lot of extra work. It can be tricky. And also, I think, you know, you and I were talking about this question, looking at kind of the emotional side of health and healing. Is there stress and emotional trouble that may be just centering itself in one spot in your body, whether it's the SI joint or otherwise? I definitely have seen this in the past where, you know, we can't separate the mind from the body. And if we're holding stress in a certain part of our life, if we're having trouble with negative emotion in a part of our life, it can manifest as physical pain. And so if you've been through a bunch of care from a mechanical standpoint, a manual therapy standpoint, it's not resolving, maybe that's a good opportunity to kind of look, you know, holistically at, you know, the other parts of your life, the think well part of it, if you will.
I like that. I definitely know lots of folks who struggle with like a constant, you know, something is not getting better. And after seeking a lot of care and, you know, sort of the physical approach, and they're so focused on the body and so focused on what they're eating and what they're doing and all of that, and that is that eat well and move well. They're so focused on that. But the amount of stress in their life and the way that they think and those patterns, just they're tough to break because our body physically I think, responds to some of those patterns with, you know, repeating them, because it's easy to do that. And, you know, it's easy to have, I talked about this a million years ago with an adrenal fatigue episode, but we have stressful thought patterns or negative thought patterns, anything that's typical for us, it's easier for our mind to go there than to change our thought and have a positive thought, you know, or change our thought and, you know, not stress out when we're sitting in traffic, because today we actually are not in a hurry, even though for 5 days during the week, we're trying to get to work on that same road. And so on Saturday, when there's traffic, it's like, there's no reason to freak out. There was no reason to freak out Monday through Friday either. You're going to be in the traffic. It's there. There's nowhere to go. But just kind of how that works in the body. And I mean, I find it really interesting, because I know it just can help so many people to sometimes step out of the physical and remember that the mental, emotional side of health is so, so important. So I think that's a really good thing to talk about. Let's see. So we've got a bunch of folks who are just asking about movements. And obviously, you know, I've been doing CrossFit for like 5 years, and you've been doing it for a couple of years now. And I know you love it and think it's great for a lot of people. I know you put up a blog post that was, it's right for everybody, but not for everyone.
Yeah.
Yes, that was it. Okay. So, you know, can you talk a little bit about if there are some CrossFit movements? This was a specific one from Julie from Instagram. Are there any CrossFit movements I should watch out for? I want to stay well while pushing myself in the workout. And then my follow-up to this is, well, I'll hold my follow-up.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, my practice is actually in a CrossFit gym, actually two different locations here in New Jersey. But so I obviously know quite a bit about this. I know kind of how to navigate it. And I know also the stigma that's out there about kind of CrossFit being a high injury risk, you know, activity, et cetera. I think I'm going to start the answer here by talking about ego, because I think that's the biggest issue when it comes to getting hurt, no matter what we're doing, whether it's going to train for a marathon or trying to, you know, get better in a CrossFit gym. I know myself, I have to listen to my body. And this is especially true when we're turning 37 this year. I'm listening to my body more and more. And some days I go in and I don't have it. You know, and that's okay. I'm still there. I'm still going to move well through those motions, but I'm not going to push it as hard. I'm going to let my coach know, hey, you know, I'm going more at 60% today, and I'm okay with that. Now, just because the girl next to me is lifting the same amount, I can't let that get to my ego because she's having a great day and I'm having a mod day that's going to make me on a bad day put a bunch of weight on the bar and get hurt. So that's kind of part one. Is listening to your body, not letting your ego get in the way of your progress. Because remember, the biggest setback you're going to have is pushing through a little something that turns into a big something, and then you're shut down for a couple weeks. As far as any specific movements, I know Julie was asking, is there anything I should watch out for? Well, it's really, I think, individual dependent. And so this is where somebody like myself who can, or, you know, even ask a coach to analyze your movement and say, you know what, hey, I notice your right shoulder doesn't go back as far as your left shoulder. Well, that's going to expose you to some trouble when it comes to overhead squats, snatches, pull-ups, anything where we're using both arms on a fixed bar or fixed axis. And so I recommend that everybody kind of go through a screen with somebody who can analyze your movement and give you some recommendations based on those results. Now, obviously, I'm going to recommend you do that with a professional, somebody who can do a functional movement analysis and give you some feedback. But certainly in our society, the toughest movement ends up always being overhead squat or snatch. And the reason for this is it requires a lot of strength and mobility and stability of our shoulders in an overhead position, and actually into kind of behind our head position as well. So the reason for this is kind of what we already talked about with our desk worker syndrome, because we sort of spend this whole life in our forward flexed, forward rounded position, our shoulders really don't like that position. So that's probably the number one that for a beginner or somebody just starting out, spend a lot of time getting your movement right. getting your form proper before adding a bunch of weight. I know our gym does a really good job of that. I know that not all do, so.
One thing I'm going to say, too, when I first started CrossFit, I came into it at a time when, you know, I had been working with a personal trainer for many years, and there was a lot of stigma that people were getting really, you know, getting hurt very often doing CrossFit. And I was very, very cautious and went very, very slowly with everything that I did in CrossFit. And I was capable. I mean, I could, when I started, I had come off of probably, I think I was not training with the Circus Center anymore by the time I started CrossFit. And so, you know, I had strong pull-ups, and when they showed me a kipping pull-up, I was already able to do strict pull-ups, probably maybe up to even 10 reps at the time. Like, I was really strong with pull-ups. So for me, a kipping pull-up, I was like, whoa, that's amazing and so easy and awesome. And I don't have to do a strict pull-up. What? But it was something that for most people to go into something like a kipping pull-up without right. enough strength and stability, you know, it's a really tough call. For some people, it's not going to be a problem. And for some people, it's going to cause a lot of problems. And I think that the point about ego is really the biggest thing. I feel like any movement that you do, whether it's a lunge, something low impact, you know, or an air squat or a box jump, you know, and then into all this other overhead stuff, no matter what you do, you can hurt yourself if you're trying to do things without kind of paying attention and without having had that assessment. And I mean, I came from a world of so much assessment that I was so cautious, and it actually worked out in my favor because, knock on wood, again, our big wood table here, I've never had a major injury in CrossFit that's caused me to be out for any serious amount of time. You know, I mean, I've definitely gone into the gym, and this is kind of what we were talking about before the show in terms of, my follow-up question to, you know, any movements that you should avoid. I'm really cautious when it comes to pain, and my ego is not such that, you know, if something hurts, I will work through it, because I'm more annoyed if I'm going to have to be out of training for a month or 6 weeks because I get an injury, and I can handle it for 1 day or 2 days or even 3 or 4 or 5 days or whatever it's going to be to kind of feel better and then not be out for that much longer. I'd rather sort of reserve that control of the situation than allow it to get to the point where I didn't listen to the pain that my body had and I just did the work anyway, which I did do that actually at one point. I was not listening to my body and deadlifted. That was right before the Mediterranean Paleo Cooking Tour. And it was hurting. It was my SI joint. It was actually hurting. And I deadlifted and I did a couple more reps anyway, and I shouldn't have. You know, it was that kind of sharp pain. So maybe you can just talk really quickly about the difference between the normal or typical or expected, common, et cetera, quote unquote, like workout pain versus a pain that could be damaging. Because I just think it's so hard for people to gauge that. And I think it's hard for people who are the type A CrossFit type who, you know, don't want to admit to pain. It's hard for them to identify that and to just kind of say, okay, I'm not doing this today. Like, I'm stopping.
Yeah, definitely. It's a great question. I think the easiest way to kind of answer or approach this is to think about if you hadn't, say you hadn't gone for a run in a really long time, and then you went for a run, maybe even just a mile, the next day, you know, your quads, your calves maybe would be sore, right? You kind of have that muscular soreness. That's okay, that's expected, kind of normal. We're working the muscles, they're getting stronger pain, quote unquote pain. Again, pain is so subjective to every individual, but that's kind of normal, expected muscular fatigue and rebuilding. That's okay. The kind of pain we want to be careful of is, first of all, anything that feels sharp. That's a definite red flag. Anything that feels radiating, for example, if you're doing, like I said, an overhead squat or even a pull-up, and you're feeling some sort of shooting pain from the core down away, down to an extremity, whether it's your arm, or if you're doing another movement down to your through your leg, any kind of shooting, sharp, radiating pain, that's a red flag. That's nerve pain oftentimes, or, you know, any kind of pulling type, sharp pulling pain that can often be a prerequisite for a tear of the soft tissues So I think, and then the last one would be kind of joint level pain. So maybe take squatting, for example. You're doing some back squats with a bunch of weight on the bar, and you're feeling just every squat, you feel medial knee pain on the inside in the joint. That's also not normal workout pain. That's joint line pain, and you need to step back, figure out what's going on, get that, whatever that movement fault or stability issue is, corrected before you start training at load again.
I feel like sometimes when, if I was having shoulder pain or any kind of issue, knee pain, whatever, a lot of times a coach can come and look at your form and help you assess that and make a slight adjustment, and then you feel much better and you move better, and that's fine. And then there are times where it just doesn't help. And I think that's where people just really need to know to listen to that pain and just stop, because it's not worth it. Whatever was happening that day, you know, this is the type of thing where, unless you're a competitive athlete who is trying to qualify for, you know, regionals, or you're at that level where it's make or break for you to get that extra rep at whatever that weight is, it's just not worth it. You know, like I personally don't think that there's any workout that's really worth it to damage your body in that serious of a way, because it's also something that I don't think people think about the ramifications of major injury outside of the injury itself and the trauma that it causes to the body and the immune system to have a major injury. And, you know, when I used to do one-on-one consultations for nutrition, I would talk to people about major traumas in their life, and people can easily think about, you know, a death of a loved one, or, you know, a relationship ending, something like that. And people forget that major injury or major illness is a trauma, you know, it's a trauma to the body. So I don't know. I mean, I'm apt to take risks in a lot of ways, but physical pain and harm is like one that I generally avoid. So I think that that's good advice. And, you know, it's different when you're sore after the workout. That's not what we're talking about, you know, or even when you're getting that muscle fatigue during the workout, it's really more the joints or, you know, other tissues. It's not just about muscle pain during a workout.
Yeah, I want to jump in and just kind of follow up with a few of the other folks that were kind of in the same feed. We're kind of addressing or asking, you know, about working through injuries. Like, they're coming into a workout regimen that, and they're already dealing with a couple of things. And here's the thing. If you can manage to keep on moving and keep getting better and keep getting stronger and still healing those injuries, whether, I know a lot of folks were asking about like disc injuries, etc., you can heal through exercise. And I wrote a piece about my own experience, you know, 14 years ago now. I had a significant low back injury that, you know, I was able to end up healing myself from through a lot of trial and error and work. But one of the things that really helped push me over the edge was training and, you know, doing things that we've always been told were bad, like deadlifts or squatting below parallel. Some of these things our bodies haven't done, and so they don't necessarily feel great when we start, but they actually, if you work through them slowly, progressively, consistently, and safely, you'll actually heal your body through doing a lot of these things. That's one of the things I like about CrossFit so much, is that it takes our modern society and takes us back to the way we're supposed to move functionally.
I think the last thing too about ego, like you were saying about, you know, picking the weight that works for you that day, it's one of the, you know, maybe dangers or troublesome parts of an RX or prescribed weight on a workout, where people have that sense that this is what I should be doing, and or what I should, you know, try and get to at some point. And I think that, you know, when you're healthy and feeling great and moving great and that can work for you, that's fine. But if you're in a place where you're still trying to make sure you're not getting hurt, or you just feel really uncertain about a movement, there's just no reason to worry about what anyone else is doing, or, you know, that even if your coach thinks you're capable of lifting something heavier, if you're just not feeling it that day. I mean, there have been so many times that I've told my coach, look, I know I could lift more than this. I'm not there today, you know, and I think that that's so important. And I think it's important that we balance that sense between going hard and doing what we're capable of and being athletes I love that. Like, I love the motivation and I love pushing ourselves in a lot of ways. I think it's great to get outside of our comfort zone and do things we never thought we were capable of doing. But I just think it's important to be smart about it and not rush things. I don't think anybody needs to be in a hurry to get to that, you know, 200 pound back squat or whatever it is. I just think everybody, you know, take your time with it and don't worry so much that there's any kind of speed involved in this competition of getting to whatever achievement you want to get to. So that's just kind of, I don't know, that's my take on that. And I think that that really helps people avoid injury. It's just when you're a little more cautious about certain things, especially if you've got pain. So one thing that I've shared a bunch of on my Facebook and Instagram and all over the place are your 2-minute fix videos.
Thanks, honey.
So one day Scott came to me, and I think I mentioned this on the show before, and he's like, I think I'm going to make these videos. I was like, okay, that sounds great. And then the next day he had like a whole bunch of videos, or probably wasn't the next day, maybe the next week. And they're awesome, and he edits them. I mean, for those of you guys who've been listening for a while, Scott edits this podcast every single week. So he's been pretty savvy with all this technical stuff, and started making these videos, and I started sharing them, and he's been sharing them. And I mean, probably, I don't know, thousands of views on a lot of them, maybe probably over 10,000.
Yeah, it's crazy. A couple, like the sciatic nerve floss one has over 13,000 views. So yeah.
So the reason that they're doing so well is that they're really helping people. And the cool thing is people are able to help themselves, even with these 2 to 3, maybe 1 or 2 or a little longer than 2 minutes, up to 5. But really short videos where folks can specifically target, you know, something that they're dealing with and get some help. So do you want to talk a little bit about what the 2-minute fix is? I mean, it's this cool free resource.
Yeah, well, I took some advice from this great business podcast, which was take the frequently asked questions you get and answer them. So one of the things in my practice, I have a lot of motivated athletes and they want to get better faster. So in addition to coming to see me, they also want to do stuff at home. And so I kept, you know, trying to find the right resource to give them something they could take home and do and get and, you know, participate in their care. So the 2-minute fix videos actually started because I just was like tired of sending them somewhere else that weren't even really what I wanted them to be doing. I started making videos of the most common exercises and techniques that I have my own patients do. And then I just,
my whole team does them.
Yeah. And what that kind of morphed and turned into was this self-care resource for anybody who's really wanting to be actively engaged in their own health and self-care. The take on it that I have, and a lot of folks who may be in CrossFit or weightlifting circles know about mobility, is there's a flip side to the mobility coin, and I explain this in the series, that mobility, the ability to move through a proper range of motion, is great, but it's not always the fix. It's not always the full story. The other half of the story, at least, is stability, and that's all about neuromotor control, how our nerves are talking to our muscles, firing properly, putting us through those ranges of motion in a stable position. That's what stability is, the ability to move through a full range of motion with strength and stability. And so that's kind of the focus of my videos, is really trying to break down all these specific movement faults twofold. Here's a shoulder mobility exercise, and here's a shoulder stability exercise, to kind of hit both sides of that movement spectrum. The other thing I would say about the 2-minute fix videos, well, first of all, the YouTube channel is Plexus Performance Care. That's my practice name. Or you can just go to my website. It's also a category on there at drscottamills.com. But what this is also morphing into now is something bigger. I kind of alluded to it with the SI joint question, which is that there's some things that I just, you know, can't teach in a couple of minutes. So we're going to be launching, hopefully this year, I'm going to make that a deadline, a longer video module course that's going to be up. So stay tuned for that. I'm not going to give the name yet. Working on that. But basically what it'll be is breaking down all these movements from a mobility and stability standpoint and really trying to teach people, both practitioners who actually want to learn kind of how to do the assessments and treatments that that I do, and also, you know, just the regular person who can apply this to their life.
So one of the things that I've obviously learned through the past few years of working with people through kind of a broader base with the books that I've written and the programs that I've created with like the 21 Day Sugar Detox, for example, and obviously just Practical Paleo with the meal plans and even just getting all the information out there, is that you guys and our listeners, you're a perfect example of that. There's a huge percentage of your own, whether, you know, healthcare from a nutrition standpoint, from a movement standpoint, that you not only can take control of, but you do. And I think it's really awesome, mm-hmm. you know, when people come up and they're like, oh, you know, your book changed my life or saved my life, which, I mean, that's, I can't handle that much responsibility. But I think I feel so, so strongly that it's each of you who takes that responsibility on to say, okay, I'm going to change what I'm eating, or I'm going to do these movements from this video. And so yeah. watching the response to the videos, I was like, you know, is there more that people can get so that they can look at something? So if I look at, you know, what I did in Practical Paleo of, okay, if this is what you're dealing with, if this is a health concern of yours, here's a meal plan that might help. I think that's something that Scott's been working on in terms of if you've got certain types of pain or if you've had this injury, you know, there are some movement corrections and movement, I don't know what else you call them, just...
Yeah, techniques, tips and tricks.
There are ways to work through that and help yourself. And then, of course, just like with nutrition and, you know, sort of the natural medicine side of that, there's a point that you hit where, of course, you're going to seek out a practitioner. You hit that end of how much you can do on your own.
Yeah.
But I think it's so powerful that, you know, as practitioners, both of us, we can create resources that then you can help yourself. We can take so much of our expertise and knowledge and put it into something that for, you know, pennies in comparison, somebody can grab that and help themselves with it. Like, I just feel like that's so powerful and such a great way to reach more people and help more people than we can ever help one-on-one, or even, you know, when we've taught some seminars together and all that. So I'm just really excited about that. Of course, I always encourage people to create programs that can help as many people as possible. And I love when, you know, of course, my close friends and loved ones are able to do that and help all of you. So yeah, stay tuned for that. We'll talk about it. I don't know when that'll happen, but we wanted to talk about chiropractic, and I was like, you may as well let them know that this is coming up at some point.
Yes, if you want to keep track of that, if that sounds like something that would interest you, just a couple of things you can do. You can sign up for my newsletter at the website. You'll see the little link for that, or on Facebook, Dr. Scott A. Mills.
And I think, I'm sure if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, the Plexus Performance Care channel, you'll find out when all of the videos come out. Usually every Friday, he's got a 2-minute fix, and follow him on Instagram at scottemillsdc.com. Nope, that's not a .com. Instagram is not a .com. At Scott A. Mills, DC.
Hey friends, Liz checking in with the Baby Making and Beyond Tip of the Week, here with my B&B partner, Meg Reburn, Meg the Midwife. Hey girl.
Hey there.
And last week we talked about foods to support postpartum healing and breastfeeding. Today's tip is about prenatal vitamin brands and testing. Remember, we're not doctors, nor are we giving medical advice or offering diagnoses or treatment. This is just information that you can take to your healthcare provider. This is actually another question that came through the Balance Bites podcast queue recently from, gonna butcher it, we decided on Zara, didn't we, Meg?
I think it's Zara, yeah.
Okay. Zara says, I love your podcast and listening to it really helps me recommit to a paleo lifestyle every day. I have a question about prenatal vitamins. With my last two children, I just bought whatever from the grocery store without putting much thought into it, and honestly, I didn't take them every day. This time, I'm more aware of what nutrition is, and I eat organ meats like liver, I eat leafy greens. Of course, with my last two pregnancies, I developed an aversion to raw vegetables. I'm concerned, though, because I know that I would get sick a lot and was unable to eat well before. The only foods that made me feel better were breads, bagels, and other gluttony, starchy foods. I, of course, gained a ton of weight before, too. I don't want to gain that much weight again. I want to have proper nutrition. I thought a prenatal vitamin would be a good idea because of my bad track record with nutrition and pregnancy. I searched some paleo pregnancy blogs and saw the Emerald Laboratories brand as recommended.
However, before I take it, I ordered it already. I want to be sure it's safe since there's no regulation on vitamin supplements. Do you know of any way to see if this brand was tested to be safe? We're going to kind of open up this question to the more general question within, I think.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of questions within this question.
Yes.
First of all, I mean, there is no, it's kind of with supplements, it's kind of buyer beware. So you just have to do your research on the labs that you're using and the companies that you're buying from. Because really, there truly really is no way to know.
Right.
You know, I think, first of all, just to start from the very beginning, she said that recently she's been, you know, doing a really great job preconception with her diet. And I think she really needs to give herself some kudos for doing that. That all the good things you do before you're pregnant really affect the outcome of this next pregnancy. So all those organ meats and stuff she was doing before are going to create good stores for this baby that's growing now to be able to get the nutrients it needs. And whatever she takes in terms of vitamins after she's pregnant is kind of just, you know, helps keep those stores at a good level and, you know, helps feed her through pregnancy and breastfeeding. But I think it's a good thing that she's got those good stores to start off with. Mm-hmm. She said she couldn't eat raw veggies. Is that right? She had an aversion to raw veggies, which is not uncommon, not uncommon at all. Wow. A lot of women can't tolerate raw veggies in the least. And there's lots of kind of really cool ancestral reasons for that, which we talk all about at Baby Making and Beyond. That's a whole podcast episode. Mm-hmm. But what about just eating, like, getting your vitamins from cooked veggies, like lightly cooked, lightly steamed, things that are put into sautés or soups? You can get tons of good nutrients that way. And, of course, you know, making sure they're covered in fat, right? Because we need fat to be able to absorb a lot of those good fat-soluble vitamins that are in our food. So, you know, steaming some veggies lightly, covering them in butter, ghee, or coconut oil, or if you're like me, coconut butter, because coconut butter goes well on everything. That'll help. I pulled up the Emerald Labs prenatal that she was looking at, and it looks like a pretty decent prenatal vitamin. The one thing I always look at when I look at prenatals is the folate versus folic acid. You want to make sure you have 5-methyl tetrahydrofolate, which this one does. Yeah, it looks like a pretty decent prenatal vitamin. What kind of prenatal vitamin are you taking, Liz?
I chose to take a whole foods-based prenatal. Actually, in the preconception period, I took the one from Seeking Health, which is not whole foods-based, but it's a really high-quality one from a guy who is a specialist in MTHFR, which is methylenetetrahydrofolate reductase, genetic single nucleotide polymorphisms. It's all very complex, and we talk about it in Baby Making and Beyond.
You do.
Yeah. So I chose to do a 5-methyltetrahydrofolate containing prenatal in the preconception period. And then during my pregnancy, I did a whole foods based prenatal from Pure Synergy.
Yeah.
And did really well with that. It was a little gentler for me personally, and we'll give the pros and cons in BMB.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the long and short of it. I mean, there's many different brands, and there's a lot of variance in brands between what we see in the States and Canada. But I'd say, you know, across the board, looking for a prenatal that's sourced from real foods and isn't a synthetic, you know, kind of brand that you're going to get from the grocery store in general.
Yeah.
So source from real foods. I usually recommend the Innate brand or the Metagenics brand. Those are available here in Canada, but make sure it comes from real stuff.
Real stuff.
Real stuff.
All right, that's it for our Baby Making and Beyond tip of the week. Hop over to babymakingandbeyond.com to sign up for program alerts, and we'll talk to you again next time.
See you next week.
Well, thanks, Liz. I miss you. Hopefully I'll hear from you soon. Just kidding. I was just texting Liz, like, while we were recording this podcast. All right, that's it, everybody. Thanks for listening. You can find Dr. Scott at drscottamills.com. You can find Liz at realfoodliz.com, and you can find me, Diane, at dianesanfilippo.com, or you can type in balancebites.com, whatever floats your boat. Don't forget to drop us a review in iTunes if you enjoyed this show, and stay tuned to social media and my emailing list to find out if you're going to need to resubscribe when we change podcast hosts. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.